Tomorrow, the Senate Judiciary Committee opens hearings on the nomination of John Roberts as Chief Justice of the United States. Two legal groups have become vocal players in the debate over the nomination, though neither has taken a formal position on the issue. NPR's Ari Shapiro has this profile of the Federalist Society and the American Constitution Society.
Though the Federalist Society has grown in influence over the last two decades, it's not used to making news. But for the last month, there's been a mystery in Washington about whether Supreme Court nominee John Roberts was ever a member. That controversy became the joke of the evening at a recent Federalist Society event in Los Angeles, where attorney Lane Wagenseller was in the audience.
And just a favor, if I do get tapped for the next vacancy, you didn't see me here, I'm not a member. Okay.
Many high-ranking Bush administration officials belong to the Federalist Society, and that's led some to suggest that it's a sort of secret cabal that can place its members into positions of power. Todd Gazziano says he wishes the group could do that. He's now at the Heritage Foundation and has been a Federalist Society member for more than 20 years.
You know, there's a chicken and egg problem here. The Federalist Society attracts great people to its debates, and these great people achieve great things.
But, he says, that doesn't mean the group can take credit for its members' achievements. Debates are at the core of the Federalist Society's activities. The debates generally revolve around legal affairs and current events. And Society President Eugene Meyer says they tend to attract people who are interested in the Society's founding ideas: limited government, separation of powers, and a strict interpretation of the Constitution.
And the same interest that leads them to be interested in those discussions also leads them to want to be very active in the public policy sphere and in the more directly political things that we don't do.
The Federalist Society has also helped bring legal ideas that once seemed marginal into the mainstream, like originalism, the notion that the Constitution ought to be read literally. 4 years ago, a group of liberal lawyers decided to try to imitate the Federalist Society's techniques for an organization on the left, the American Constitution Society, or ACS. Lisa Brown is the executive director.
You know, I was at the University of Chicago in law school when the Federalist Society first started, and we thought that some of their ideas were crazy. What they figured out is that if you control the legal debate, you end up being able to determine laws and policies and ultimately influence the nature of society.
ACS uses broader terms than the Federalist Society. Instead of talking about limited government and originalism, the ACS mission statement refers to liberty, justice, and equality. But the daily schedule of programs is more or less the same. Daniel Goldman ran the student chapter at Stanford Law School.
We generally have about 8 to 10 fairly significant events a year. We've had several panels on terrorism and privacy issues that have followed from the Patriot Act.
Like the Federalist Society, ACS has both law student chapters and chapters for lawyers. The San Francisco Lawyers Chapter recently gathered for lunch and a talk at a banquet hall in Chinatown. One attorney at the event, Adam Cole, says it's useful to have a structure to organize like-minded interests.
The goal here is to get law students to think and care about issues and then to become people in positions of power who will then influence that.
Neither of these groups can claim to be the largest legal association in the country. That title belongs to the American Bar Association, which describes itself as nonpartisan. ABA President Michael Greco says he values having both ACS and the Federalist Society contributing to the legal dialogue in America.
I'm mindful of something that Adlai Stevenson said when I was a boy growing up in Illinois. He said that in America, freedom rings wherever opinions clash. So opinions will clash.
The important thing, Greco says, is to make sure the clash is respectful and not destructive. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, Washington.